time for the Big Three, brought to you by the Metal Store. Discover why the Metal Store has become the name to know for premier manufacturer of quality metal roofing. The Metal Store is your one-stop shop for all your metal roofing and metal buildings.
Dorian Thompson Robinson had that ball stripped. It's still loose, and the Bearcats have it. Picked up by Cincinnati.
The ball appeared to just slip out of his hands, much like what happened in the first half there. DTR was moving. UCLA was moving. Lippert Stadium's going crazy, and instead it sits out. And 92 Brooks with a nice scoop there. The big athlete gets down and caught the ball.
Welcome to the Monsters of the Midday on a Friday. You gotta love the passion of college football. We're gonna give you a little fight song action today for the bumper music. We'll bring back the mandolins on Monday. What up, Matt Ravis?
How's it going, Mark?
It's going well, man. You had a winner last night. You started off the season 1-0, batting 1,000. Unfortunately, there was another game left on the schedule last night, but Cincinnati was the right side against the UCLans. Dude, you just dropped the ball twice at quarterback. That'll get you benched in the eighth grade.
Ball control. Got to hold on to the ball. He Tommy Reese'd it.
Grade. You can't play for the eighth grade if you can't hold on to the football. There's enough bad things that can happen out there to you on the field when it comes to fumbles, when you got a 300-pound man like Dusty chasing you down, hitting you hard. The ball can come out there. I understand that, but can't just drop it. That was terrible.
That really did just fly out of his hand. It was almost comical. It was.
Yeah, things looked good for UCLA. I mean, for, 3 minutes and change of the 60-minute game, UCLA was on the way back. But I just, Dorian Thompson Robinson, highly, highly touted quarterback. His QBR last night was 12.5. He was 8 of 26,
Wolf.
4 turnovers, 10 rushes, minus 20 yards. He stunk. That
yeah.
was pitiful.
That was
pitiful.
That was terrible. I think I kind of know your answer to this, but was that UCLA being bad or Cincinnati being good?
It's a great question because we don't have any other metrics in which to measure those two teams. And my expectation last night was this. Is remember, I was pretty high on Cincinnati, and I put the Cincinnati at Ohio State game next week as one of my top 15 college football games of the year because I thought that Cincinnati might have a chance to go in there and surprise them. That game means more to the players at Cincinnati than it does to me, to the players at Ohio State. It's a big brother, little brother type situation. Well, they're going to go in there, and I think they're really going to crank it out and give them a good game. But in a strange sense is that UCLA looked so bad last night that I don't know how to measure Cincinnati because they couldn't distance themselves from that team. And really, I hate to do this to you, Matt. I shouldn't do this to you, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I mean,
let's hear it.
You could have, would have, should have, what? I mean, that game into a UCLA win pretty easily. Now, you can come right back at me and say, don't ever do that. I mean, probably shouldn't. But again, they had that scoop and score turned over and the poor performance by the quarterback and just really terrible errors. And maybe UCLA wins that game on the road. So,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they should have separated themselves a little bit more. I'm with you. I mean, they're playing at home just against a bad, bad team as we established. They should have won by more.
Well, one thing that is, I think that is one of the most wise things I've ever heard Coach Switzer say is that in a college football season, you're going to play two really, really good games where you overachieve. You're probably going to play two games in which you don't play well. And then everything else is kind of what you are, I mean, it's a bell curve of success.
So just throw out your top two results, throw out your bottom two results, basically.
Yeah. I think that last night could have clearly been a bad result for both teams. Just neither one of them played very well. And again, I think that the Ohio State game will get the Cincinnati's attention much more. Nothing Cincinnati did last night should dissuade me from liking them playing Ohio State. And I don't know what the number will be on that game, but it's probably going to be plus 13 or 14 in favor of the Bearcats. And then UCLA again, in 2 weeks when they play, Oklahoma, they will not play that poorly. They just won't. That has to be for me one of those bell curve games for UCLA that was just, that's an outlier of a poor performance, I thought.
Yeah, watching that game, though, I mean, my level of concern is non-existent for that team. I mean, it's I don't know. But it's, I don't see any way that they can stick around.
Well, I we'll see what they do. I know, I'm sure they probably will have would be pretty motivated to play OU.
Yeah, absolutely. What'd you think of Luke Fickell last night?
It was interesting. What'd you think of the broadcast?
That was also very interesting. I heard you guys talking about it last hour. I love the energy that Pat McAfee brings. And if you listened to his interview on our show earlier this week, you heard a little bit of that. But they didn't do him any favors by sticking him in a booth with two other guys. He needs to be on a two-man call, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would put another person into the booth if they kind of think that he's brought to the table to add energy to it. This is a complicated discussion. I have no idea how much interest that the people out there that are listening today have based on what's going on in the booth. I do know that a lot of people reacted to the broadcast last night. He works in a two-man booth with Adam. I mean, he knows enough about football that I think that he can analyze the game. I love Matt Hasselbeck's, you know, analysis. I think he's super solid. He's really good in studio because I think he has a chance to kind of, you know, think more and provide more collected thoughts. But it was just rough last night. You can't be bigger than the game. You know, you've got to have to learn to talk. You can't get in the way of the action. Play-by-play guy's got to have to be able to call the play-by-play. That's what he's in there for. If not, there's no reason to have him in there. What you would basically have is a chaotic players only, you know. So I thought that I like Pat, too, and I'm just not a guy that's typically done, you know, watched his podcasts. And so I really don't know that much about him, but I loved his interview on the station. I mean, I thought he was great. And so I think you got to give those guys another chance.
Well, he's polarizing. It's like you said, everybody is talking about it. Like, everybody has an opinion one way or another. And I mean, that's worth something, right? I mean, that's got to have some kind of merit.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. He, again, any of this to me, I'm shocked at some of the decisions that are made by ESPN. Like, when you're sitting in a room and there's, you know, people that are in charge of a big company like that. And I mean, again, this is my thoughts. I haven't talked to Dusty about it. I mean, I know Dusty, he's done such a great job there, but how can you put a guy in a bucket truck on the sidelines and think that that's going to work? And especially when you put him in the booth for the first time. And again, there's some fundamentals of doing a game that are completely overlooked. And I think that you have to still have some fundamentals in those situations.
So what to you are the most important things then as a play-by-play guy?
Well, one, I think you have to be concise. You don't have time to talk. It's not a free form. You have to, I think Dusty does a great job. Some of the things that I love about Dusty and the work that he does is he has enthusiasm more than anything. I mean, he's great enthusiasm for the game. He's extremely knowledgeable and he can fit what he needs to fit in between plays. I mean, as a play-by-play guy on television, it's not radio. You need to call names, and you need also to add excitement, but you can't stand in the way of the game, and you can't be talking through plays and continuing to go on. So how does ESPN continue? They, you know, I do appreciate what Pat McAfee said. I'm me, man. You know, you can't beat me down for being me. I get some people aren't going to like me. I love it that he has that kind of thick skin, and that's awesome. But I also think that they put him in a little bit of a bad position if they didn't tell him, you can be you, but there's some fundamentals of broadcasting that you're going to have to adhere to make this broadcast work.
Sure. It's just like throwing a project center out there and expecting him to play, you know, 30 minutes a night. I just don't think that they are really setting him up, you know, for a good situation. Obviously, he needs some more coaching, you know, and I think that this is it's just like we're just talking about these teams as if they're finished products in week one. It's the same thing with them. I mean, it's an incomplete evaluation, but I did think it was interesting. I did like the energy he brought. Just couldn't help but think, man, that's a crowded booth.
Right. It was interesting, but it'll be better. I think it will be better. But look, I think in one sense, though, if you're ESPN and you want that, you want reaction. And I don't always think that the reaction makes everything, you know? I mean, I'm not from that mold. I'm not Mr. Hot Take guy. But if you wanted reaction, they got plenty of reaction last night. I mean, people were reacting to it. And usually, I also believe if you've got reaction, it could be positive or negative. It's still noise.
You guys are Twitter friends now, right?
No, we are not. He did tweet me, but we are not Twitter friends.
You're not following each other.
No, we're not following.
You got like a million followers.
I know. Crazy, he's got a lot of followers.
I guess he had his team like tweeting out like highlights from his calls last night on his Twitter account. I thought that was a kind of a big league move.
That's good. That's good. How many people do you follow on Twitter?
Many people. I noticed the other day it was like a really even number. It was 1111. I've followed one person since then. So 1112.
I'm not big on the Twitter snobs, man. If you've got something that if you tweet something clever, I'll follow you back. If I know you, I definitely follow you back. So you know what I'm saying. My Twitter timeline is not that gunked up, so I don't have to worry about it. But
you use a mute button ever on people?
Should I admit that?
Even the block button? Oh yeah, that's fine. I mute people. I block people. I'll admit that.
I have no one muted. And if I've blocked somebody, it's because they're just a complete jackass.
It's because they deserved it, 100%.
I won't block. I don't even think I'd block you for coming at me. I just would block you if you said something just dumb, you know,
yes,
really dumb.
Exactly. Like I would never block somebody because I disagreed with them.
Right.
I mean, that would be a very soft move.
I agree with that. I think that's right. You know who is the greatest blocker of all time on Twitter?
Who's that?
That is the guy that follows me today at 2 o'clock. The ultimate. He took such joy in blocking people on Twitter. It made him very happy.
It's kind of empowering. A little bit. It can be, at least.
He loved. I mean, it was his version of put him on hold. Put him on hold.
Put him on hold.
I'm gonna put you on block. You're gone. No more commentary for me.
The Dikembe Mutombo of Twitter blockers.
I love Dikembe. No, hey, we're going to take some phone calls today here. So if you want to comment on the broadcast, you can. If you want to comment on the game tonight for the Cowboys, you can. Somewhat breaking news that is not all of that surprising based on reports is that Calvin Bundage did not make the trip to Corvallis, and he will not play. Big part of Oklahoma State's defense. He's been banged up. I think that he can clearly be a guy that can bring some pressure off the edge for the Cowboys, but I have fairly high hopes for the OSU defense. So no Calvin Bundage in the game tomorrow. I do like two kids from Oklahoma that are going to be playing up front. Big roles that need to be replaced. Oklahoma State lost a ton of experience on the defensive line. And that is a little bit concerning for tonight's game because if Oregon State can do anything, they can run the football. They've got a good back, and I think that they should be able to run it. And if Oklahoma State can't stand in there, then it could get interesting in terms of them scoring some points, Oregon State. Israel Antoine from Millwood. I really like him. I think he's going to be part of the rotation up front there. Brock Martin, kid from Ulaga, got a little bit of time last season, and I think that he is a guy that could really be good at the defensive end position. Big, strong kid, not super fast or super explosive, but I like his ability to provide some resistance to the run game. So those are a couple of kids for Oklahoma State that you should look for tonight. I like their secondary as well. I think it's a good move if you're inexperienced at linebacker to move Malcolm Rodriguez down into a little bit of a hybrid position. Another Oklahoma kid from Wagner that's really tough, that's gotten bigger. I thought the Cowboys had a couple of safeties that stepped up and played towards the end of the season last year that gives them more depth. And they're good at corner. They really are. They're good at corner. And I know anytime you mention Oklahoma State or Oklahoma defense, people roll their eyes. And there are issues that sometimes are greater than one position or two, but I think that Green and Williams are good players at the cornerback position, and I don't think that Oregon State's going to be able to exploit them a ton through the air tonight. So I expect Oklahoma State to win the game comfortably, and it might be pretty high scoring. Cowboys should, to me, put up quite a few points on offense tonight.
Does the Calvin Bundage thing, did you factor that in when you locked this game? Did you consider that a possibility?
No, and you know what? I mean, with respect to Calvin Bundage, it wouldn't. He's not enough to change my mind one way or the other.
That's what I was about to say.
Literally, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's a good player. But when you think about this, I hear all, like, even Dusty yesterday, you talk about Alabama and they lose one player, and you're going to tell me that that's enough for you to decide they're not going to beat Georgia anymore because they lose one linebacker? I understand how good he is. I understand he's an All-American. I understand there's depth issues. But we're talking about Alabama. There ain't guys at Alabama that aren't any good. I mean, their backup at Alabama, freshman or no freshman, redshirt, true, is going to be a good player. You're going to throw him out there on a defense that's got a lot of other players that have seen plenty of playing time and experience. And then if you look at the offensive positions at Alabama, this is probably the best offense that Alabama has ever had. Ever. Ever. Period. Alabama. I mean, they've got an All-American type quarterback. They've got three running backs. They've got maybe the best wide receiver in the country. They're deep at wide receiver. They have guys that can do different things. Their offensive line, maybe not as experienced as it was last year, but it's going to be really good. I just don't see Alabama losing a whole lot of games, man.
Yeah, when you lose one defensive player, I mean, it's one thing if you lose your quarterback. If your quarterback is out, obviously that's going to be a big, or, you know, running back, wide receiver, big skill position guy, but a defensive player, not so big. But that is cause for concern, no doubt. So, I don't know.
All right, we got to take a break. Again, fill up the phones. We'll talk to you. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. Call, get in, discuss anything that's on your mind. Going to see high school football game tonight in Tuttle, Newcastle and Tuttle, big rivalry between those two teams. And there's several other games going on that are good in week zero. My Blackwell Maroons are in action tonight. Ravis, you ever been to a Blackwell Tonkawa game?
I have never. Never even been to Blackwell. I've been to Tahlequah, though. Or Tonkawa, I mean.
Yeah, I've been to Tonkawa. What did you go to Tonkawa for?
I'll tell you off air.
jail? I mean, they don't have the jail there. The K County Jail's in Newkirk, so I guess it wasn't that. But anyway, all right, I'm kind of curious to know what happened off the air. I'm at Chapel Supply. Gasoline generators, 3,600 watts, in stock, $395. Come by and see us. You can also get pressure washers, 3,200 PSI. Gas pressure washer is $395. 4,100 PSI gas pressure washer is $995. You need a generator. If your power goes out, you don't want to be sitting there for 3 days watching all your food melt and all that stuff. Chapel Supply can hook you up. Visit their website at chapelsupply.com or give them a call here today at 405-495-1722 or see us on the hoof, 6509 West Reno. Your phone calls are next. Stay tuned.
The Morning Animals.
I just picture a homeschool
with WWLS. The Sports Animal.
There you go, Matt Ravis. Thank you very much. That's the Blackwell Maroons fight song. A little Illinois loyalty. I would say they're the underdogs tonight to the Buccaneers of Tonkawa, defending state champions of Class A. I can tell you that one time the Tonkawa Buccaneers tangled with one of Mark Rogers' Blackwell teams, and they did not come out on the right side of victory.
Oh, yeah?
No.
What was the final score?
I can't remember. We beat them pretty easily. We beat them. It was my sophomore year. I even got in the game to run the football at the end of it. I mean, that was nobody from K County. We didn't play Ponca City. I think we probably would have lost to them, but we would have lost to them. But, you know, Newkirk, Tonkawa, they didn't have a chance. Not against us. Anyway, high school football games tonight. Here's some good ones. Big win last night for Jinx in the whatever they're calling that challenge with all the teams from Tulsa are playing the teams in the Mansfield District last night. They shut out Mansfield Legacy 38-0. It's a big win for them. Tuttle Newcastle, big game on this side of the state. Shawnee at Choctaw, another big game here in the metro area. And, again, not everybody is in action tonight, but really some of the Tulsa schools – with bigger games. Booker T's playing North Little Rock, who's the Arkansas defending state champions in the large class. Plainview is taking on one of Dusty's old rivals, Singer, in Texas. And then Midwest City is playing Bentonville, Arkansas on Saturday. Owosso, Bill Blankenship's team's playing Bentonville West. A couple big high schools up there in Northwest Arkansas.
Any chance some of this weather disrupts any of this? I know we're supposed to maybe have a chance for thunderstorms later on tonight.
I hope not. I don't know what the weather forecast is for this evening, but I can tell you this. I haven't seen it rain harder than it rained this morning in a long time. I mean, it was coming down.
Yes.
In buckets.
I actually had a pretty terrifying experience on the way to work. I hydroplaned a couple times, but I was fine. I was able to gain control, but going the other way, I saw someone hydroplane. Mark, their car did probably about a 720, hit the guardrail and everything. It was bad. It seemed like a
Yikes.
Bad accident.
That's not good at all.
No, it wasn't. It's not every day you see an accident. So I was a little bit like, oh, man. That's, I don't know. It's a crazy thing to see. So be careful out there if you're driving.
I don't know what rain does to people's minds when they're behind a wheel, but it does strange things. Some people believe when it rains, they should drive 40 miles an hour in the highway. That's not the way you do it. Other people, when it rains, believe that you should drive 90 miles an hour. And that's not the way you do it either. you know, you have to be kind of careful and use the brakes with discretion. If you're going to be going 90, the worst thing that could happen is to just hammer the brakes. That's not going to be a good situation. So you need to be going fast enough where you're not impeding other traffic, but yet not fast enough to where if you have to get on the brakes a little bit, that you're going to end up doing the 720, as Matt Ravis described today. It's not a good situation.
Cruise control also a no-no, right, when it's raining?
No, I don't. Listen, cruise control, I don't know who uses cruise control these days anymore. Is it even, do they put that on new cars?
You don't use cruise control?
Never.
Why?
Well, let me explain this. I'm sure Jim asked Jim the same question, and he'll tell you.
Okay.
Is because I need to get to where I'm going. And they're going to be, I'm not going to cruise at all. I'm passing people. I mean, I got to get out there in the left lane and get by them and then get by some other people and then get by some other people. And driving is, you know, it's an event that it's not, if I put cruise control on, it's just, I kind of lose my intensity.
See, I think that the way that you called it an event, I think probably describes the difference in our philosophies. I'm a lot more laid back when it comes to driving. Whereas you guys are pedal to the metal. I understand.
What does it take you? Like, are you going to, I like driving. I mean, I like a good road trip. That's cool by me. But I kind of want to get where I'm going.
No, I feel
I want to be dawdling around.
I feel
hanging
you.
Out, watching people pass me.
I listen to podcasts, I zone out, whatever. I mean, you're talking to somebody who got a speeding ticket earlier this week. So I'm definitely on the wrong side of things from time to time, but I think we just have different driving philosophies.
We do. I'm surprised that there is any different driving philosophy from
somebody had just called and asked about your high school magazine and where they could procure such a thing.
Okay, they can get those at OnQ. We have magazines at Gregory's Sporting Goods here in the Oklahoma City area, which is in Moore. They're off of 4th Street by Phil's favorite place, the Super Mercado. But you should be able to find Quick Trips in the eastern part of the state. They're out there. They're everywhere. I don't think I had one on me right now. I could come to Chapel Supply. I think I got one copy. It'd be my copy.
Maybe you could sign it for him.
I don't think he'd want
an
autograph.
How much one of those bad boys
worth? I got one copy. I'll give it up. I'll just give it away if he wants to come see me at Chapel Supply today.
So there you go. I didn't get that caller's name, but you got an answer. I told him to hang on and listen.
I finally got Mike from Chickasha a couple copies. I hate to say it. I didn't get him the first copies this year. He had sent me a letter reminding me that I didn't send him his copy, so I got him out. So
good. I'm glad you made amends there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS. Ravis 1-1 on his picks this season. He had BYU last night. BYU quarterback was very he turned the ball over. Similar situation to the UCLA quarterback. So, you know, you giveth and taketh away. So you're 1-1. Utah, I thought, looked good. That's a good sign for the Pac-12. The defense at Utah is legit.
Yeah, that defensive line, man. I mean, they were pushing the BYU offensive line around at the point of attack all night long. I think that was part of why their quarterback, who was a true freshman, right? BYU's?
Right.
I think that's part of why he turned the ball over so much, as he was running for his life all night long.
Well, BYU has, they're a physical football team. That's one thing that they do well. I wasn't surprised to see quarterback make some mistakes, because this isn't the BYU of Lavelle Edwards, where, you know, they had the run of quarterbacks that was just outstanding. Mark Wilson, Steve Young, Ty Detmer, all those guys. It seemed like every year BYU had a great quarterback, and now quarterback play hasn't been great for them. Taysom Hill was a good one, but not a guy that was going to throw the football all around. They kind of made their mark as a physical football team, good on defense. And that was not the case last night. They were physically dominated by a Utah team that's also trademark, very, very tough on the line of scrimmage. Very good.
How about that Utah running back, Zach Moss? Really,
he's good.
Him
he's one of the better running backs in the country.
Like
Cincinnati got a good running back too.
Yeah. Mike Warren. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went down with a leg injury last night.
Yeah, that's tough for them. But Zach Moss is. I don't know if he's in the top six or seven in the country. And again, I love, you know, I think maybe the best running back in the country could have been playing last night as well. That's Travis Etienne at Clemson. He had a great game, but. But yeah, he's a good one, and he ought to have a bunch of yards in that league, because that Southern Division to me is not great. Herm Edwards, Arizona State won last night. Opened up the season against who they play? Some team from the MAC, I believe. Akron, right? That was a good win for them. But you know, Arizona did not look good on defense in Week 1. We'll see what USC does this weekend. I picked against USC. I like Fresno catching 13.5 points against the Trojans.
It was Kent State, Arizona beat.
Kent State, sorry.
I couldn't think of it either. I had to look it up.
I did not watch that game.
I didn't watch much of the Clemson-Georgia Tech game either because that game was over by
the second
quarter.
Well, that was on the ACC network, I didn't have the ACC network.
Oh, really? Really?
No, it's not on the DirecTV rotation right now, right?
I guess so. Apparently not.
No, it's not.
I use the YouTube TV thing, and I was surprised that I had it. I didn't even know the game was on ACC Network.
What a millennial move on your part, knowing how to work the internet.
It's just like putting Lauryn Hill in my top five, right?
I don't know how to do that stuff. You're really smarter than me. I wish I did.
It's easy, Mark. It's really easy. I promise.
Yeah, that'd be much better.
But I didn't watch much of it last night because it was over by like the second quarter. Obviously, no. They are so far ahead of everybody else. Clemson and Alabama.
It looks like it to me. We will see Alabama. We'll see Alabama coming up on Saturday against Duke. But Clemson, that didn't even look like they were that sharp and still won going away. There was one really unfortunate thing that happened last night in the NFL. I know most people's focus was on college football, but Rodney Anderson, again, who had looked really pretty good in the preseason. He'd made some catches in the week before. Sixth-round pick for the Bengals at OU. Looks like he tore his ACL again and will miss the season. That's really tough, man. I mean, you think of all the things that he overcame, had basically what was a broken neck, a devastating knee injury early in the season last year, and he had to be considered one of the top running backs in the country last year, probably would have been the number one overall pick from the running back position if he had not have been hurt, and tears the same ACL again. At least I did see a Twitter report on that earlier today, Matt. That's a bad break.
That is a bad break. It really sad. And everybody here obviously knows about his talent. There's no denying his talent. That's the only reason he fell as far as he did in the NFL draft. But boy, I think that really raises some questions about his future, right? I mean, how many injuries can you take?
Well, one thing I wouldn't do is count that guy out because he's come back from all of them. I mean, but I don't know. It's tough to you tear the same ACL twice. It's not a good situation whatsoever. But he has some talent, man. Big running back, really, could get after it.
Well,
and run.
The thing he does really well, he catch passes too. And, not every running back can do that. That is so vital in the NFL these days.
Yeah, it is. That was sad to see. Other than that, not a whole lot went on in the NFL last night. I did see Josh Gordon got in the game for the Patriots.
To draft him in fantasy is probably past now. It's probably past because he's going to skyrocket in value. It sounds like he's going to play week one, like right out the gate.
Well, you've seen some of the numbers on him that when he did play for New England last year, he was catching the ball.
Yes, he was good whenever he was on the field. That's been the only thing with him. You want to take a phone call?
I do. I'll put it this way. I drafted him. I can't remember exactly what round I got him in.
Probably got a good value for him.
I have to look at the league, but I think I'm probably going to fire him in the starting lineup next week. We'll see. I'll take a phone call. Sure.
How about Steven?
Steven, what's up?
Hey, Mark. High school football time. Got a question.
Okay.
In your mind, the best high school team that you ever got to see?
97 Jinx.
Okay, that's good.
I think they had three or four guys that played in the pros on that team.
I was living in Lawton the year that Lawton Eisenhower won the national championship that year.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was Raymond Austin and Dwight McFadden, and I mean that team was that Tim Reynolds, I think, that was the coach.
You are correct.
With the Chickasha, yeah, man, that was incredible. But
that was a very good team. I did some research, actually quite a bit of extensive research on this when I was working at Channel 9. And so there's been some really interesting dominant teams throughout Oklahoma high school history. I remember. I don't know if you're from Southwest Oklahoma, you probably remember those Fox teams that had the Breath Brothers on them, and their scoring differential in one season was like 780 to 14 or 16 or something like that. So I didn't see those guys play. There was a little bit before my time. I'll go back and dig up that list and maybe try to post it somewhere on social media because I really put a lot of effort into that.
I was actually in high school, but I was at Lawton High when that Eisenhower team played. And Lawton High was good, too. That was Charles Thompson. Duell Brewer, yeah. But that then they had Eisenhower had that the guy that played baseball for the Mets.
Butch Husky.
Man, I mean, that team was loaded, and I think every one of those guys went, like, out of state. I don't think any of them – well, I guess the guy that played at OU, the defensive lineman.
Well, they were up there, and I'm telling you that the Lawton team of Duell Brewer, which was maybe, what, 2 years later after the Eisenhower team, had Will Shields and Brewer on it. I mean, they're also up there with one of the best large school teams.
I can't remember that Eisenhower defensive lineman. He played at OU, ended up playing in the NFL. Big guy. Can't remember. I'll have to think about
that. Martin Chase was a good defensive lineman at Ike, but he was not on that. He was not on that team.
Yeah, Martin Chase was pretty good. Well, that's fun. I'm just glad it's back. I like going and watching, even though I don't really have anybody in the hunt anymore. But I like going and watching. It's there's something fun about just the spirit and stuff. It's great. All right, thanks.
Oh yeah. All right, I appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, I do. I love the you know, same kind of pageantry and that you get just you see on Friday nights, especially a rivalry game between teams that you know, all the communities are out there. That's something special. I have to go back and look at that Jinx team. I know Rocky Kalmus was on it. And Jason Lohr, Sean Mahan, I stood on the sidelines at Jinx and kind of expected them to be challenged a little bit in the second round by a guy named Matt Holliday, who was a quarterback at Stillwater. And that game ended up 63-0. So here were their playoff scores in 97. 48-0 over Enid in the first round, 63-0 over Stillwater in the second round, 41-6 over Moore in the third round, 56-8 over UConn in the finals. And the regular season looked a whole lot like that. That's the best team I've seen. There have been some other, it's hard to compare a big school to some smaller schools, but there's also been some smaller schools along the lines of the last 15, 20 years have been dominant too. I have a Chapel Supply today. Get yourself a pressure washer. Also a generator. Power might be out. If your power is out, I don't know how you could probably hear me. I mean, maybe in your car, but you need to drive by here today and get yourself a generator. They have several in stock here and can take care of any of your needs. Also, if you have a work truck or a whole shop, your outfitting Chapel Supply will take care of your air compressor and your generator needs. ChapelSupply.com, 6509 West Reno, 495-1722. 460-WWLS is how you reach us. Give us a call. We'll fire you in there into the rotation. Might have Dusty in the next hour. We're going to have Jake Trotter in the 1 o'clock hour. He's going to make his picks for the picks contest. So we've got a lot of fun things headed your way here on a Friday afternoon. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
Formerly of Norman High School, where he was a...
They call it the Holy War. It's a pretty serious rivalry between those teams. Dude, sometimes, I mean, if you're going to use a term for that, you just got to use the term that people use. They have to bleep you, or don't go there at all. I don't want to talk baby talk to somebody. I thought that was interesting and kind of weak. Trash talk is usually interesting. But anyway, Utah handled the BYU Cougars pretty easily.
Are you a college football playoff believer for Utah? There's a lot of people who are putting them there.
I agree with Lincoln Riley. Overreaction is going to rule the first week, and it always does. Always does. And of the teams that played last night, even Clemson, because there's such a high bar for Clemson, and people's expectations for Clemson are off the charts, that you could argue that Utah's performance probably was the best one of the night. Right? I mean, they defense scored, offense was decent, quality opponent, road win. That checks a lot of boxes. And so I think, yeah, probably.
Easy schedule, too, right? I mean, they have a pretty good outlook.
They got to play at USC. You know, we always look at a schedule and say these games are easy, but
sure.
Anytime you build up as an undefeated team, you're going to have pressure going on the road. And one thing Utah, they're so fundamentally sound. Like, one of the places that I think that you see them kind of shine the most is bowl games. I don't know what their bowl streak is, but maybe they lost last year, but they'd won like 8 bowl games in a row or something like that, where they're just really a disciplined team and they're tough, and you give them a long time to prepare and they're going to win. But against teams like Washington, they haven't had much luck. USC, it's been tougher to beat them. And they have to go on the road to both of those places this year. The USC game is coming up as a Friday night game. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
That's kind of shocking. They've only lost 2 bowl games since the year 2000. Really, since 96. They've only lost 2 bowl games.
Oh, and you remember they blasted Alabama in a bowl game? That wasn't under this coach. That was Urban Meyer when he was coaching there. But that's pretty good.
That was in 2009, yeah.
When you mention it, this schedule, I mean, this schedule is, it is set up for a possible national championship run. I mean, the only conference road games they have, at USC, at Washington, at Oregon State, which is a gimme, and at Arizona, which I think is probably a gimme. That's schedulable. I just combined schedule and manageable. Schedulable.
You come up with a lot of new words.
I know. I don't know why I can't talk.
No, I don't think that means you can't talk. I think that means you are a pioneer, language pioneer.
The schedule is manageable. There, I got
it out. It's schedulable. I think that's
schedulable.
A good verb. Manageable schedule.
Throw it all together. All right, it's great. We have Greg on the line.
Yes, we
Greg,
do.
All right, let's talk to Greg. What's up, Greg?
Hey, I was glad to hear you coming out to the Tuttle Newcastle game tonight. Am I on?
You're on, man. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We are picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. Yeah, I was glad, excited to hear because my son plays quarterback for Newcastle, so I told him you're going to be coming out there. So he's definitely excited about that.
Well, give him a shout-out. What's his name?
Andrew Schumard.
Okay, very good. So what is the projection tonight? Last season, this game went to the Tigers pretty easily. Are the Racers expecting a better effort tonight?
Better, but, you know, we're still the little brother in this. You know, last year, offensively, they were pretty good, but had no defense. So I hate to say it, but my expectations aren't real high, but I think we're going to give them a better fight than last year for sure.
Well, Greg, I hope they didn't ask you to speak at the pep assembly because you can't go in there with that kind of talk.
I would not. Hopefully they're not listening.
If I had to pick the game, I think Tuttle definitely takes a little bit of a step back offensively this year. I think their defense is close to being as good as it was last year. It should be really pretty tough and nasty. So, like both the coaches in this game tonight, so I wish them both well.
Yeah, Coach Brickman's really done a good job of starting to turn things around there. So, hopefully, the next couple of years will be even better. But, yeah, it ought to be a good game. Hopefully, we can at least put up a fight. I didn't like you saying that their defense is looking really good. But,
yeah, it's tough. You know. I saw them scrimmage last week at Piedmont, and they really look good. Tuttle look good. Yeah. It might be tough.
Well,
might be tough for the Racers.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be a good game nonetheless.
All right. Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate your call.
All right. Thank you.
It's kind of an interesting story. So, Ravis, they put in Tuttle had a grass field. And if you've ever been to Tuttle, it's right there right in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in a turf field, or they're putting in a turf field. Like, I think they got finally to the turf laid this week. But one end of the field was like 8 feet higher than the other end of the field.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, one. You're going downhill. I guess I don't know if it's hard to see. I mean, but that's just the way that the field was. I mean, from one end to the other.
That's
pretty
bizarre.
Weird. You either run it uphill or downhill out there.
It's bizarre, yeah.
I think things like that happen sometimes. All right, 460 WWLS, 888-285 WWLS.
We've got Craig on the line.
The Hump Man? Just Craig.
Other Craig.
Craig, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, about a month ago, I went down to Dallas, and as I lost WWLS, I ended up picking up 3 or 4 different sports stations in the Dallas area, and you guys are so much better than anything down there, so I just wanted to pass that on and tell you we appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you very much,
thanks,
man. That's kind words. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
Wow. That's just a nice compliment.
Yeah, it's not often that you're getting a compliment with no strings attached. Just a compliment, nothing else. No ulterior motive or anything. I like it.
All right. Hey, tonight we got more than just the Oklahoma State game and the Tulsa game tonight. There's some other pretty decent games. The Colorado State game is always interesting. Former Big 8 team, Big 12 team, Colorado, And it seemed like for a while there, the Buffaloes were losing all the time to the Rams, but they've got it turned around a little bit. So I think that game, I would suggest you could possibly do a drive-by on Wisconsin and USF. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't do a whole lot for me, but Wisconsin is on the road. They are a top 20 team. But tonight is more than just two games, the ones that are on Fox Sports 1 that featured the local team. So if you're not going out to a high school game, you've got plenty of good football to catch up and watch. But I thoroughly enjoyed watching about 6.5 hours of football last night. You said we want one more?
Yeah, one more call.
Is this guy going to compliment us?
Ryan.
Please. Ryan, what's up?
Yeah, is it me?
It's you.
I have a question about, not this week, but next week, about this Moore War game. What do you think about it? Who's going to win?
How many straight is it for Westmore?
8.
No, it's more than that, right? No, it's more than that. I'm pretty sure. I think
it'll be 19 and 19 this year.
19, right. Okay, 18. All right, I thought you said 8. Yeah, that makes more sense to me. I think that Moore has a shot. They got a shot. I wouldn't pick them, but I would pick the game to be pretty close.
All right.
Which side of the rivalry are you on there?
I think that's Westmore team. I've watched them scrimmage against Norman North last night. They look pretty fast, so.
Okay, yeah. No, Westmore's favorite, but I think it could be a competitive game. I've seen a lot of Deuce Highshaw. Saw him play in the junior high ranks going through the Moore system, and he's a really good player. He's going to go play at Kansas. He can kind of do a little bit of everything for them, so he'll be tough to stop. But I would lean Westmore, and then but I think he'll be competitive. In the history of that series, which I think the first game was in 88, Matt, it's only changed like who's won once. Like I think Moore, Westmore won like the first 7 or 8, then Moore won the next 14 or 15, and then Westmore's won 18 or something like that. I don't know how many
That's pretty incredible.
Games it's been. Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Is it Isaac Stoops on that coaching staff?
He's at Moore, yeah.
Moore?
Yes, he is.
Very interesting.
He's helping him out. And again, Bill Dahlke that we talked about is on that staff, former Norman North offensive coordinator Brad Hill, whose dad Jerry was a longtime Hall of Fame Oklahoma coach, is the head coach there at Moore.
Man, so people are pumped up about high school football.
I think people are pretty pumped up. It's the first week. First week. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back next hour. Jake Trotter is going to make his picks. We'll get his thoughts on Cleveland as we are now 6 days from the opening of the NFL season. And we got a lot to do here today on the show. I'm at Chapel Supply, so come by and see us. Get yourself a pressure washer or a gasoline generator here at Chapel Supply. Stay tuned. The Monsters of the Midday.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus Oregon State.
Cowboys tonight at 9:30. Sooners Sunday night at 6:30. Mr. Ravis, people were inquiring as to why the Sports Animal would be broadcasting from Norman tomorrow. Because I think they thought, well, these guys might be confused. The game has been moved to Sunday, and they don't know that. But that's not the case, right? You're going to be in Norman tomorrow?
Yes, that is the case. No confusion. I will be in Norman tomorrow and on Sunday. But tomorrow, they've got a great fan fest set up. I believe a pep rally at 6, live music at 7. So yeah, it should be a great time tomorrow.
What kind of live music is there?
It's the Nixons. Are you a fan
both
of the Nixons?
Both kinds, the country and westerns. The Nixons love the Nixons. That's awesome. So I haven't got a text message from Zach Malloy to tell us that they're going to be playing.
Yeah, no, I think that maybe they contacted Traber the other day when we were talking about it. But yeah, no, they will be on.
Oh, really?
Right as my show wraps up at 7. Yeah. No, it's not that kind of thing. I don't think it is, at least.
Well, I'm just saying, is it Zach Malloy now? He's BFFs with Traber. He's not gonna let me know.
Well, we didn't talk about it yet.
I can tell you this, when I was going to see the Nixons at Rome or whatever it was called at the time, at David Box's place down in Norman when I was 19 years old, I mean, where was Traber? Just saying, I've had Zach's back for a long period of time.
You were there first.
Way longer than Jim's.
You were a fan before he was.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. So anyway, that's cool. So what time is Ravis Island?
5 to 7 tomorrow. 5 to 7,
you're on right in the middle of the Nixon set.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be at 7 whenever they start playing. But I know Matt Meyer will be out there with his show, Toby Howell as well. So we'll be out there basically all day.
Okay, great. That would be fun. So I encourage you, if you're going to be around Norman, I got to find some place where I'm going to watch college football tomorrow because I'm going to be doing a significant amount of that.
What games you got highlighted? What games you got circled?
I think, again, tomorrow the 2:30 games aren't very good. The morning games are a little bit better. I think Dusty's game is going to be one of the better games of the day. And so I will definitely be down for Ole Miss, Memphis, some of that. I was just thinking about this during the break. I'm going to give you a sneaky good game, okay? I'm going to give you one that I think that you need to pay attention to on Saturday night. The main course on Saturday night is Oregon and Auburn. It's a rematch of a national championship game. It was actually a game that game, when it was played, I was in Vegas and I was on Oregon, which was not good. They lost. Did not cover. It looked like they could, but I watched that with Todd Furman in the Caesar Sportsbook. Makes me a little skittish about Oregon this time around because I like them again also. But Louisiana Tech at Texas. Huge, huge look-ahead potential for UT. I would promise you there's been a lot of work done on LSU by Tom Herman. He's too good in those situations. And I think Furman mentioned this a little bit in his segment yesterday. You know, Louisiana Tech is one of those teams. They're not afraid of facing Power 5 competition. I mean, they played Mississippi State last year. They played LSU last year. And they played Mississippi State. They got just absolutely destroyed a year ago. But they played LSU within 20. And that's all you're asking them to do here is play within 21 or 22 points. So they've got an experienced quarterback coming back. They'll have some good athletes on the team. They were a bowl winner last year. And I just think they'll be able to stay in the game with Texas, who isn't, to me, explosive. They're not an offensive team. I don't think you're going to see Texas have drives, three plays, 80 yards against Louisiana Tech. I think they've got enough players on the defensive side of the ball that they'll make it at least challenging for Texas to score. So, you know, last year, if you remember the start of the Texas season, they lose at Maryland, come home, and barely beat Tulsa in one of those games where Tulsa missed three field goals and an extra point. I think I'm going off of memory of that. And then Texas started to get a whole lot better after that and when the season went on. But I think this could be a rough spot for Texas. If I'm taking the points, I'm a little I might have talked myself into liking this one a little bit more than I did my play on Toledo at Kentucky.
It's very interesting. I probably wasn't going to pay a whole lot of attention to that, but no, that seems like a interesting matchup. That's a 7, right?
But here's another reason why you have to pay a little bit of attention to it. I mean, if you're an OU fan, you always want to know what Texas is doing.
Sure.
I mean, you got your main rival. You got to keep your eyes on them to at least, if they don't play well, be able to talk smack. And then if you're Oklahoma State, they play Texas coming up in 3 weeks. So in Austin, I mean, Cowboys fans, I would think that would be a game of huge interest to them.
Did you see Herb Street's Big 12 pick?
Yeah, I picked Texas.
Yes,
he said he picked Texas because of Sam Ellinger.
Because of Sam Ellinger.
I saw Emmanuel Acho, who we had on the show for, 3 minutes a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
He also is picking Texas. That's no surprise. I just think the schedule is tough for Texas. It's tougher than OU's. I mean, the OU-Texas game in Dallas, you could almost say, I'll grant you, it's kind of a coin toss. OU hasn't played or OU hasn't covered in the game 6 consecutive years. And they really haven't played outstanding in any of those games. It's been always been closer than you would have expected. They've lost some games. They've been kind of handled in some of the games. Last year's game, they were pretty much handled. And Kyler Murray got him back in the game. So Texas could win that, but they almost have to win it. I think that, the game at Iowa State, I just don't think they're going to win that. I think Iowa State defensively matches up great against Texas. You know, Texas is going to run the football. They're going to run Tom Herman schemes. And man, Iowa State does a great job of stopping the run. And then their front 7, front 6, whatever you want to call it, they've got 3 of the better players in the Big 12. I don't think Texas is going to win that game in November. And if they don't, then they almost had to win the Red River rivalry to get to the playoff or get to the championship game. So I don't see Texas there.
Very interesting.
I don't disrespect Texas too. I appreciate Ellinger. I think that his curve, of improvement went way up from freshman to sophomore year. He stopped making bad decisions and turning the football over. And I mean, he threw a ton of touchdown passes. He's big. He's tough to tackle, but I don't know that he's going to, I mean, how much more can he improve this season, especially behind a little bit of a depleted offensive line? They've lost some guys there. He lost an excellent receiver. Little Jordan Humphrey's is not back.
I understand, but he's improved every year, and I feel like we've said that before. And there's no way he can make that jump again this year, and he did.
Well, there was a huge, but this is only his third year. I mean, he had a huge, there was huge room for improvement after his freshman year, I thought. Yeah, didn't throw it well, and again, threw some interceptions that cost him games. Threw an interception against Oklahoma State that cost him the game in Austin. But this season, I mean, what were the numbers last year? 28-5? 28 touchdowns, 5 picks? I mean, what? He's not going to 40-4 this season, right?
Right. I mean, probably not. That would be out of this world for him. I mean, he's winning the Heisman if he puts up numbers like that, right?
I agree. I mean, I was being a little facetious. I'm sorry. Last season was 25-5. Threw for 3,200 yards. His freshman year, he was 11 touchdowns, 7 picks. I mean, that is unbelievable improvement, significant improvement. And one thing about it is, you know, a lot of people talk about his skills running the football. He only rushed for under 3 yards a carry last year. So I think that's just, it's just the threat of the defense that keeps him honest. That is what makes the Texas offense tough to stop. Keep an eye on that game. Just telling you, I think it's got a chance of being maybe a little bit closer than you would think. We're going to take a phone call here. We will. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. If you want to get in, we'd be happy to talk to you. We're going to talk with Jake Trotter, hopefully here in the 120 time segment today.
Yes, today is cut day for the NFL, right?
It is. I think so, yeah.
Got to have 53-man rosters. I think that is 4 o'clock, the deadline. So, no, pretty soon.
Any big names?
Brandon Marshall, the linebacker from the Raiders, got cut. That was a pretty surprising move. I think that's probably the biggest name so far.
So far.
Nobody I know from the Browns. I think we asked him about that earlier this week, and Jake said basically it's all but what? 4 or 5 spots are determined at this point?
I think that's right. And I mean, I know on Hard Knocks, John Gruden was talking about potential for 4 undrafted guys to make the team. I think it's always tough. You want to make your scouting department look good. If you spend all that time, R&D, to make a pick on a guy, you don't want to admit that there's somebody that you didn't pick that is going to be better.
Yeah, former second-round pick tease Tabor of the Lions gets cut. It's pretty interesting.
Florida player?
Yep.
That is surprising. I would agree with you. Thought maybe things would have been a little bit better for him. Okay, we'll keep you up to date on that, because I know that if you've had your fantasy draft yet, there's probably going to be some people that you picked that don't make teams.
Sounds like Carlos Hyde from the Chiefs might be a cut candidate. That's kind of surprising.
I think he is a definite cut candidate, because the kid from Jinx,
yeah,
Derwin Thompson,
awesome.
He's looked great, and yes. I think that he even has a chance to. In this running back situation with Kansas City, which I think is a highly coveted spot. And people's fantasy picks, they don't have a whole lot invested in Damian Williams. I mean, basically, they got him off of the waiver wire last year, and so Thompson is a guy that could be a really, really good pick late round.
I totally agree.
It could end up in the second week. He might end up being the Kansas City Chiefs starting running back, and that would be a position you take in the top 3 rounds, no questions asked.
And beyond that, if you've already had your fantasy draft, chances are he might be out there. Like, you could probably just scoop him up for free. So Darwin Thompson fantasy. Round 7 right now.
I thought Carlos Hyde looked to me like, you know, he's battled some injuries, and it just, man, his story might be the story of a typical NFL running back.
Yeah, he's just hit that
point.
You get
one major injury, and it doesn't come back. And I thought last year when he was starting in Cleveland, how in the world could they put him out there before Chubb? I mean, Chubb was so much better.
They put Tyrod Taylor out there before Baker Mayfield.
I understand that. I think the difference between Tyrod and Baker may have been less than Chubb and Hyde. I mean, and then, you know, Jacksonville acquired him, and he couldn't even get on the field there. So that was
his career. Just at that point in his career.
I think you're right. I think he's definitely cut. I don't think that he's going to.
But a lot of people drafted him in their fantasy drafts. I'm saying, I mean, you got to cut bait at this point. Go grab Darwin Thompson if you can.
Right. If you go and buy some magazine or something like that, or free agent signings, he's probably listed ahead on the depth chart. But that's And there'll be some other guys in camp that make teams that might deserve a little bit of consideration for you as well, based on what happens with. So, okay, again, 460 WWLS, 460-9957. If you have a call, we will be happy to talk to you. We'll get you in here. Okay, so gave you that kind of game, one that's kind of sneaky good. I also think that the Fresno State-USC game is going to be really good. That's 9:30 local time on Saturday night. You always like the late Saturday night game because, you know, if you've been out tailgating or doing whatever you're doing, you get to come home and kind of relax and focus and concentrate on one game. Fresno State is a good team. I mean, they got a good squad in the Mountain West. Jeff Tedford has done good things with that program, and I'm kind of surprised. Maybe this line is a little tricky to me because it's so big. I would expect it to be less. They are replacing a bunch of players. And quarterback position isn't going to be what it has been at Fresno. They do have enough, I think, on defense, but that's possibly the situation. Is you look at it, and Fresno just has a lot of questions to answer. But that was a team that handled Arizona State pretty easy in the bowl game last year, beat Boise State in the conference championship game. So I really like that team. I think it's I think they can rebuild, and I think they've got things kind of going in the right direction. Did you catch any NFL preseason last night at all? Did you work that into the rotation?
No,
I didn't.
I really didn't either. It's week four, and I did see a pretty highlight from the Cowboys game that could have been set to some Benny Hill music. But no, I didn't watch much preseason last night. Actually, I didn't watch any preseason last night.
Which game?
The Cowboys game. Was it Cowboys and Bucks? Yeah, yesterday. I'll try to find this clip and send it to you, but it is week four preseason at its best. Just the ball flying everywhere. Nobody being able to fall on it. It's bad.
Tony Pollard did not play in the game last night. I mean, I think that tells you a lot about there's going to be no Ezekiel Elliott against the Giants. We're getting too close. I don't think he's going to play. I think week one, Tony Pollard is going to be out there for the Cowboys. So he didn't take any snaps last night in that game.
What do you think about what has been the line from Jerry Jones and company recently, which is that we're probably not going to have him week one, which is obvious by now. But by week six, I think they're saying is probably their target date, knowing that they need him for the home stretch, not the first couple of weeks.
The mechanics of this negotiation in the media is interesting to me. Because that's what it is. I mean, Jerry is very savvy when it comes to the message that he's sending to Zeke. And I almost think that he's sending the message, it's okay to do that. I mean, hey, if you believe that they've offered him money that's going to put Zeke in the top two or three running backs paid in the NFL, tearing up his contract 2 years earlier than it's supposed to after some of the stupid things that he's done, why would the Cowboys want to do that? Why? That doesn't make any sense to me. I would explain that to him in the negotiation when you're looking across the table to his agent. Look, there's no reason for us to do this. This is dumb. I mean, if we're going to pay you top five money or top three money or top two money, you should take it and run with it. And I think that that's also Jerry's way of saying, you know what? There's no more money coming. I mean, the offer is what it is. And if you want to come in week six and because you think there's going to be less wear and tear on your body, I guess you can send that message that it's okay, because I think they probably would rather have him out there at some point than not. But that is just going to mess up your season. And I think one thing that's important in the NFL is if you can see teams that have a good camp, that's a good candidate to see to make a run. If a team goes through camp where everybody's there, the stars haven't held out or aren't missing, and there's no injuries, I'm not talking about exhibition game wins. I'm just talking about you had a good, productive camp. Maybe sign a couple free agents. You're motivated. Everybody's on the same page. Kind of come out of camp feeling good about everything. And the Cowboys are just 100% opposite of that. And I think for that reason, I'm high on Dallas, and I was. But if I've got to have to pick the NFC East this year, the choice is Philly. For that reason alone.
I mean, if I had to guess, I think they get something done, what, midway through the season, 6 weeks into the season? I think so.
It's so difficult to predict what's going on here, but it is not good news for Cowboys fans to hear that there's been a contract offer made and one of significance. Why wouldn't he sign it? What's going to change? Is he dumb enough to hold out and sit for an entire season and not make any money and then have to possibly sit for another two seasons.
See, that's why I think that they get something done. There's no way he sets out the whole season because, like you said, that would be dumb. I don't know. It's a difficult situation.
It would be dumb, but I'm just telling you, I don't think, like, the smart way to do things is the way that Dak Prescott is doing it. He's going to come in and play. If they do decide to franchise him, he's going to be a top five paid quarterback. That's, you know, I guess he wants more. He turned down, allegedly a $30 million offer, which I would have thought he should take, but he didn't. But he's at least coming in there to do the work, and he's going to collect the check that, you know, fourth round pick. He's not being paid as well as some other quarterbacks because of where he was drafted. Zeke got drafted high, and he'd make it pretty good money for a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that he's ever made really good decisions. He might be dumb enough or stubborn enough to sit out the entire year. I mean, he could have come to camp, and Jerry would have negotiated a contract with him. I just don't understand why he wouldn't sign a deal that's going to pay him a bunch of money.
Yeah, it is a weird situation. I keep coming back to Dak and Amari. I mean, if they really were offered top five contracts, you know, per the reports, both of them were offered top five contracts for their positions. I don't know about you. I mean, Dak certainly not near the top five, in my opinion, but I don't even put Amari Cooper in my top five wide receivers. So why are they not taking those contracts?
No, he's not. Amari Cooper's not close to the top five.
So why are they not taking top five offers if they have reported they'll be offered those?
Well, I think because they have time to negotiate. I mean, they've got time to negotiate. So they could also be betting on the fact that, look, you go out and you have a big year, and that price could go up.
Yeah, or
you go out and don't have as good a year, it's going to go down.
Yeah, or maybe my other thought was maybe they offer them a contract that's like very, very front loaded, where they can cut bait a couple years in or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You can do weird stuff with those contracts, make it incentive based, stuff like that.
That's right. Non-guaranteed money is basically not a contract. The non-guaranteed money. We will have Jake Trotter next. I did see that he tweeted earlier that Terrell Owens, who played at Oklahoma State, was cut by the Browns but might be able to be put on the practice squad. Jake's going to make his college football picks, so we'll add him to the list, and we'll do a lot more. We're here at Chapel Supply, where you can come by and get yourself a generator or a pressure washer. You can use both of those. They can outfit anything from your work truck to your entire shop here at Chapel Supply. We love the folks at Chapel Supply. ChapelSupply.com, 405-495-1722, or right here on Reno, 6509 West Reno in OKC. Jake Trotter next to the Monsters.
The Morning Animals.
Buck is my new friend.
So at ChapelSupply.com. Let's go to the Iron Man, Jake Trotter, covering the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. Hopefully get Jake here in a second. I'm sure he's a little bit busy this afternoon covering cut day, as we discussed with Matt Ravis. Do feel a little bit cheated out of the NFL preseason. It has been so lackluster. We've seen so few stars play. And yesterday's slate of games, like I said, hardly anyone out there for much time at all. So I'll be excited to get it going next Thursday night when the season kicks off. Will be a lot of fun. So, pretty good games the opening weekend, too, in the NFL. So, I'll be anxious to kind of hear from Dusty on his trip. Dusty hopefully had taken the advice on the barbecue that I had given him, to go to Central Barbecue in Memphis, which is absolutely off the charts. Let's welcome in the Iron Man. Is this a busy day for you covering the cuts?
It's a busy day all the way around, Mark. We got the new baby, got cuts with the Browns happening, so it's full go here. And we got picks, which is, you know, not be diminished in any way, shape, or form.
Congratulations on the new addition to the family. We did that in your absence on Wednesday.
Right.
Do we have a name yet?
We do. Michael, baby Michael, could have the nickname of Mickey. Which, you know, another famous Oklahoman had that nickname as well. So we're very excited, and hopefully mom and the baby will be able to come home tomorrow.
That is awesome news. All right, so wait a minute. The name is going to be Michael, but you're going to already give a nickname? I mean, why don't you just go with Mickey?
Well, we're kind of traditionalist, and you know, he's going to have to have a Greek Orthodox baptismal name.
Okay.
So, you know, we got to kind of thread the needle there. But
I hear you.
Yeah, we Michael Eugene Trotter, the Met. You can call him the Met if you want.
I like that. That sounds good to me. Okay, would you like to make the picks? Would you like to talk about anything going on in Browns camp?
Well, I just want to say, like, that was a pretty ruthless move by you in week one, trying to jinx Ravis and Fox right off the bat. I mean, I guess it's all cutthroat here, huh?
Well, look, I may or may not have had a personal investment in the game last night, so it really didn't have anything to do with Matt Ravis. But, yes, I was trying to do anything that I could to bring home UCLA, and it just didn't work. That was a very frustrating evening.
Yeah, how much time was left in the game whenever you tweeted congrats?
I don't know, but
pick.
I want to tell you that basically this morning in text messages to friends and also on Twitter, I think I was a little bit too hard on Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but last night I was pretty pissed at him, so.
UCLA stinks. OU may beat them by 70 if they want to.
It was a bad look. I tried to tell this to Matt earlier. UCLA is not as bad as they played last night. They can't be. That was horrible.
Well, I'll tell you what. Cincinnati could have won that game by a lot more if they had, you know, punched the ball in the first half. I mean, they had outgained. I can't remember the number, but, you know, I mean, they had outgained UCLA significantly in the first half. And what was it, like just 10 to 7? I mean, it could have very, very easily been like, I don't know, you know, 20 to 7 instead. So I don't know how good Houston is going to be. I don't know how you guys picked that game, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. But OU's non-conference schedule is not looking very strong with that UCLA performance.
I agree. I thought that Cincinnati was underwhelming to me, too, last night. They've got a little bit of an excuse with that game at Ohio State next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, let's get after it, man. You want to pick the Oklahoma State game tonight? It's your call. You can go Lock of the Week, T&W Tire Lock of the Week first, or you can go the Oklahoma State game first. We're living in your world, man.
Matt, I'm ready for the T&W Tire Lock of the Week.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. I'm in Ohio. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid through osmosis, but I did see Lane Kiffin come to Norman last year with a lot of hype and then get absolutely obliterated by the Sooners. I kind of see the same thing happening in Columbus. You know, the debut for Ryan Day, for Justin Fields. I think Ohio State's really good, and I think that they cover the number that I have is 27.5.
Dusty liked that pick yesterday. Okay, all right. That's your T&W Tire Lock of the Week. We got you down. There's a lot of questions at Ohio State, man. A lot of questions. They got a bunch of new guys.
But I think they're pretty talented. And I like Ryan Day. And so, you know, we'll see. Obviously, two coordinators up there. Well, I mean, not necessarily play callers since Ryan's going to call it, but Kevin Wilson and Mike Yurcich with the Oklahoma Ties. So it'll be interesting to see how they mesh together. But again, I think that there are 6.5 teams that can make the playoffs this year. Ohio State is one of them. I'm picking them to win the Big Ten until anybody else does any, you know, something, aka Michigan, finally shows that they can hang. But until further notice, Ohio State is my team to win the Big Ten, and I think they're going to roll tomorrow. Now, the good thing about picking the same pick, Dusty, did he make that pick?
No, I don't. No, Dusty did not have Ohio State. No,
okay.
He did not.
All right. Well, because I was going to say, I mean, it's a win-win for me if Dusty had picked it, because if Ohio State covers, then I win. But if they don't cover, then Dusty loses. So, you know, I'm good either way.
It's a good point. Your number is 27.5, by the way.
Okay, very good. I like it. Lock it in.
Okay. Tonight, Oklahoma State and
Dallas.
Okay, and the number on that game right now, I thought I saw 13.5 earlier today, but I think we decided that you have the same number as us no matter what, so we locked it in yesterday at 14.
Ooh. Okay, so that's the rules. I get the number that you guys get. Is that what we're
yes.
doing?
Yes, unless you pick it early. You can't pick a game early if you like the line and think it's going to move. But, you know, we can't have you winning a game at 14 and us pushing.
Okay, well, listen, I'm fine with the rules. I liked it a lot more at 13.5. I think
the game's going to land on 14?
Well, I was going to say it was at 15.5 early in the week, right? I didn't like that. I felt like a lot of points. I could see Oklahoma State kind of messing around at quarterback tonight, which might sap a little bit of their offensive momentum. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I think eventually Spencer Sanders is going to be the guy, but who knows, right? When it comes to Mike Gundy quarterbacks, like, we just don't know what's going to happen. So I like Oklahoma State at 13.5. I still like them at 14. But I do think it could be a little bit of a slog in the first half as they try to incorporate the new quarterbacks. But Oregon State is terrible. I think they might be a little bit better, but they're still not very good. So give me the Pokes.
Okay. That's that. What, Matt, was there a line on Oklahoma yesterday? 24?
I believe so. Let me double check.
All right. OU, 24.
What did you pick? How'd you guys have the OU game?
We all picked the same.
Yeah, we all have Houston.
I have Houston.
Ravis is on the Beavers.
I did side with the Beavers.
Okay. I'm going with Houston as well. I think Oklahoma's going to control the game, but the one thing that gives me a little bit of concern is that are they going to be as explosive as they have been the last 2 years, or really the last 4 years? I don't know. I think they might be a little bit more of a running team with Jalen Hurts than they have been in the past, and so that's a big number to cover against a decent team, especially with a new quarterback. So I'm going to go Houston. You know, you got King back at quarterback for them. Dana hasn't had a lot of success against Oklahoma when he was at West Virginia, but I do think that they'll be able to put up some points against an OU defense that, you know, everything I read sounds good, but I still want to see them on the field before, you know, I give them a lot of credit for improvement. So give me Houston in 24.
Houston seems such like the obvious side. I mean, it really does. I mean, in last year, I think people thought Oklahoma was going to have a hard time, new quarterback, all this stuff with Florida Atlantic, and the rest is history. I mean, that game could have been, you know, whatever. But I do think Houston's probably the right side in this game. I think so. Okay.
I think so, too.
You have two more games to select.
I have three games that I'm looking at for two, okay? Let me just give you the three, and then I can pick in real time here. So I like UVA against Pitt. I think I saw the line at 3 last I checked it.
Hold on. I mean, we can't take your word for it. I've got the official provider of the number, scoresandodds.com. Virginia and Pitt. The number on Virginia and Pitt. Come on. I mean, where's this game in the rotation? Ridiculous.
Meanwhile, I like Georgia -22 against Vanderbilt. Again, I Georgia's one of my 6.5 teams. And,
I think
you know,
that number's higher. Virginia's 2.5. Georgia is 22.5.
In my last game, okay. Arkansas State -2.5, kind of a sentimental pick there with Blake Anderson and what their family's gone through. So, I don't know. Any thoughts on those three games? Any insight you want to lend me before
I'm on
decide?
The Red Wolves. One of my picks this week is Arkansas State. I do think that there's going to that will be an emotional game. It's a big home game for Arkansas State to have SMU come in, former Southwest Conference team, and Arkansas State's a pretty good program.
What do you think about Shane Buechel? I think that the
quarterback play was a big problem for SMU last year. I think Shane Buechel sounds better in theory than what it's going to be in practice.
Okay, I like the solidarity with you, Bark. Let's ride with the Redwoods. I'm in.
Okay,
that's my fourth pick. Okay,
awesome.
I think I'm going to go UVA. I don't think Pitt is very good. That number's dropped to 0.5 since I picked it. And, like, I think UVA, you know, the ACC is kind of a weird conference in that you have Clemson, and then it's hard to know, like, after that who's good. But I think UVA is kind of in that mix of second-tier teams that, you know, could be, you know, the third or fourth best team in the league, right, based on the improvement they've made under Bronco Mendenhall. So I'm gonna go with UVA.
Pitt has been really kind of an interesting team, right? I mean, and they've struggled at the beginning of season. I mean, remember Oklahoma State went in there a couple years ago.
49-7 and 49-7 at halftime. Yeah.
They crushed them, yeah. And so last season, they get beat 51-6 by Penn State. They almost beat Notre Dame when Notre Dame's undefeated. They did kind of get hot at the end of last season, and then it just, I don't know, they're a really hard team to predict, so.
It is a little bit like Oklahoma State was last year in that when they play the really good teams, they can be dangerous. But when they're playing the okay teams, they can get blown out. So that's kind of what I think that game is in Charlottesville, right?
No, it looks like it's at Pittsburgh.
It's at Pitt? Okay. Well, Not like there's a great home field advantage there. I'm gonna go with UVA. Give me UVA.
You can't come on the show handicapping a game and thinking it's in one other place. Well, I mean,
listen, I got a lot. There's a lot going on this week. I'm not as detail oriented as I.
Your son would not be happy with you right now. He is not proud.
He's not going to be happy if I go 0-5 on the week of his birth. That would be a bad deal.
You're not going to, because Arkansas State's going to cover. Okay, so here's your picks. You got Ohio State as your TNW Tire Lock of the week at 27.5, Oklahoma State minus 14, Houston plus 24, Arkansas State minus 2.5, and Pitt. You lay the 2.5, Virginia minus 2.5. You lay it whether they're playing at home or on the road. You don't care. Give me some brown scoop,
man. All right. You think I ought to go with Georgia then?
I like what you're picking. I can't make your picks for you.
Well, I mean, you're making me feel like I don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe
you
didn't
know where the game was. That's not my fault.
I'm going with UVA. I don't care. Okay. They can play that game anywhere. UVA is going to win.
Okay. That probably will happen. UVA is a lot of high expectations for them this season. So give me some NFL scoop. What's going on? Who's any surprises on the roster moves today?
Well, it's obviously a big day. The NFL cuts across the league. I was able to report a few minutes ago that Jarrell Owens was cut from the Browns, former Oklahoma State defensive end. We'll see if he gets in the mix for the practice squad there. I mean, he had some moments this year. You know, I think like midway through camp, he was on the second team, but it is possible, staying with the Browns, that they walk into the season with two rookie kickers in Austin Seibert and the Scottish Hammer, a.k.a. Jamie Gillen, who's been kind of one of the underrated storylines for the Browns this camp. I think Gillen went to – where did he go in Arkansas? I want to say he went to Central Arkansas. Where did he go to college?
Central Arkansas got a big win last night.
Arkansas Pine Bluff. He went to Arkansas Pine Bluff. So, that would make me a little bit nervous going into the season with two rookie kickers, but, you know, they drafted Seibert fifth in the fifth round for a reason, and the Hammer has been outstanding, had a really good tackle on the coverage last night in a meaningless preseason game against the Lions, and really just been great all camp. So, I think that would be interesting on a team with so many expectations that they're going to be relying on two rookie kickers potentially to man special teams for them.
So no chance of Carly Lloyd in that spot.
No, but I hope that would be that would. It sounds like she's going to wait a year, right? I mean, everything I read, she's going to wait a year. But she's going to be. I think she's going to be in a camp next year.
It's an interesting story. It sounds like she got a preseason offer, preseason invite.
It sounds like she had two. If things go south for Seibert, I mean, the Browns would be one of those teams that I think would be interested. But that would be really cool. And I think she'd be – I mean, like, I was watching those videos with the Eagles. I mean, she looked pretty good to me. And, you know, I've seen the backlash, well, you know, can she tackle, you know, as a woman playing the NFL? Like, what kickers can tackle? And no – I mean, Austin Seibert's not taking anybody out on kickoff coverage. So – I think it would be. I think it'd be really cool, and that would be, obviously groundbreaking in a lot of different ways. And she's got a ton of talent.
I do too. Hey, Baker's been pretty quiet for. He's been pretty quiet the last week after this GQ article surfaced. Haven't heard much from him.
No, he hasn't spoken. So he's going to be one of the stuntmen for Progressive Insurance, which is based out of Northeast Ohio. So he did some media for that earlier this week. But, yeah, otherwise he's been quiet. He spoke right after the Daniel Jones saga last week to try to clarify, you know, all of that. But he'll talk next week because they're going to be on their routine, regular season routine. I think he'll talk Wednesdays, it sounds like. So could have a lot to go over during the season on the show here.
I think Daniel Jones finished the preseason like 29 out of 34. That's pretty good.
He had a QBR of like 98.
That's pretty good, and he looks good out there.
Good.
I don't know. I mean,
he
looks better in the Giants gear than he did in Duke. I think just Duke football gear doesn't look good. It's white helmets. I don't know. It's something like that. But anyway, he didn't look real good.
It's hard to look good when you when
in a Duke football uniform.
By the way, it'll be interesting to see if they can cover 32.5 against Alabama with the injuries that Bama has. I mean, the Giants, you know, listen, they're, I don't think they're going to be very good, but they do have some pieces if Daniel Jones is the guy. When you talk about maybe the best running back in the NFL and Saquon Barkley, you know, we love Sterling Shepard if he can be healthy. And then, you know, you got a quarterback that, you know, might have been, you know, one of the best picks in the draft that everybody was crushing at the time. I mean, right now, would you rather have Dwayne Haskins or Daniel Jones?
Probably Daniel Jones.
Yeah, probably Jones.
But yeah. I don't know. We haven't seen either one of them yet.
No one would have said that. No one would have, and it's early. I mean, who knows? But no one would have said that in April.
I hear you. Hey, well, congratulations, man, on the new addition to the family. We will look forward to talking to you next week, and we can have a game to preview.
Browns. Enjoy the football this weekend, and try not to jinx any more picks, Mark, okay?
It didn't work out.
We're good, man.
Didn't work out.
You and I are
going to be good. I'm not going to be jinxing
picks,
you.
Stay away from my picks on Twitter.
We are on three similar sides. So how I fare in week one is how you fare. We'll talk to you again next week, Iron Man. Thank you very much. I'm at Chop Supply today. See you later. We can get a pressure washer. You can come by here and get you a generator. You need a generator with the lightning that we have around here lately. And your stuff can go out really quickly, and you want to make sure that you continue to have power. So come see us at Chapel Supply or visit them online at chapelsupply.com. We wrap up the show, hand it off to the Ultimate next on a Friday. Stay tuned.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
I'm ready for football. So, you know,
what's going on?
What up, Marcus?
How are you?
Well, for my Mid-American Christian University educated guess, a nap is in my immediate future because I took your advice and I just got back into my hotel room from Central Barbecue, and you weren't lying, my friend. Off the charts. I got the wings, and I couldn't remember what kind you told me, and I went with the Jamaican jerk. Dude, those smoked wings are next level.
That would have been what I would have recommended. Yeah, they were good. That place is legit. That's they're older, more discussed places, but that place to me is the best.
The picture of the wings should have come with a warning label, Dusty.
Oh, my goodness. And the great thing about the wings were, like, you got the whole shebang. Like, you get the drumstick and the wing connected still. So it was, I'm telling you, man, it was outstanding. And then Mark Jones, he's got a sweet tooth. He saw that there was peanut butter pie. So he ordered some peanut butter pie, and he forced me to get a bite. So I go in to get a bite, okay? So I got a fork. I'm like, I'll get one bite. And next thing I know, this woman who works there, a local Memphis lady, she grabs my arm and says, no. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening? And she brought over some homemade banana pudding that she had made that morning. And with her own fork, I'm hoping it was clean, she fed me the banana pudding. I got to say,
wow,
it was off the charts. So not only did I have delicious barbecue, but I had the woman who made the banana pudding this morning walk over and fork feed it to me right there at the table. So
did she try to follow you back to the hotel?
That's intimate.
You guys able to elude her?
No, she's just a nice lady. I did try the peanut butter pie, and I will say the banana pudding was better. But it was two thumbs up, man. Excellent recommendation by you, sir.
What did you think of the game last night? I could not believe. I thought both teams didn't play very well. The UCLA game, Utah looked good to me, but. UCLA was just awful last night.
Well, Utah defense is as good as we thought, right? Two defensive touchdowns.
Yes.
I mean, they shut down BYU. I didn't think Utah's offense was very impressive, Mark. That defense is really good. It's going to win them a lot of games this year. The first game was, boy, UCLA, DTR. I know he's a highly talented, highly recruited kid, but holy cow did he look bad in his first chance. I mean, the two fumbles, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how he fumbled them. I mean, they had a chance to go up 7-0, 3-0 at the minimum, and he just fumbles the football, and then they got a chance to get back in it late, and he does the same thing. That was bad football at its finest. So, and what's crazy is, as bad as they played, they somehow found a way to hang around. So I guess I give them credit in that regard, but I was expecting a little bit better effort, I think, than what UCLA put out in the opening night. They better play better than that, or it's going to be a long season there in L.A.
Any more intel after you've had a chance to talk to some of the coaches?
Yeah, Mike Norvell is an impressive cat, Mark. You know, I mean, you go back to when he was an OC for Todd Graham at Arizona State, some of the offenses they had. Look at what he's done in his first 3 years at Memphis. And he's legit. He had us out to practice today, and they do a fast Friday. It's upper pads, and they go hard. And Mike Norvell he's fired up, man. He's out there, and he's running practice. He's calling the plays, the OC. And I was just really impressed. He's got it going here. And, you know, he hired two new coordinators, and he calls the plays on offense, so that guy doesn't really matter. But Kevin Johns, the coordinator, he was the OC at Tech last year, and he was OC for Kevin Wilson at Indiana. So it was nice to chat with him. And then they went and got a coach, Fuller from Marshall, and I've been studying some Marshall defense from last year, and he was an impressive guy. So I'm intrigued to see if Memphis's defense can be that much better. You know, it's interesting, Mark. Here's a great stat that I heard the last couple of days. There's seven teams this year that right now are favored in every game. Can you name them?
Oh, really?
Seven teams in college football.
Okay. Well, Alabama. Oklahoma.
Yes.
Clemson.
Yes.
Ohio State.
No.
Michigan.
Yes.
All right. Give me the others.
Georgia.
It's going to be one smaller team in there. Yeah, Georgia doesn't have to play Alabama until the championship.
Washington, okay. And Memphis. Those are the seven teams in college football that right now, obviously things can change, but as we sit here right now, handicappers have those seven teams as favorites. So, I think the expectations are very high. The only area of concern I could see for tomorrow's game is they have two new offensive tackles. They lost three offensive linemen. Their best offensive lineman's a guard. He's sliding the center. But Ole Miss is going to have some talent up front. They return a lot of their defensive line. Now, they've really struggled. That's why they went and got Mike McIntyre. That's why they went and got Rich Rodriguez on offense. We're going to sit down with the Ole Miss coaches here in a couple hours. But I can just tell you from the Memphis side, I'm impressed. They're fired up. We sat with their star defensive player, Bryce Huff, their quarterback, Brady White, and they're really embracing and excited about this opportunity to play on ABC national stage against a school that's 80 miles away and is a big regional rival. How about this? I was talking to the recruiting coordinator.
Right.
500 recruits going to be at this game tomorrow, Mark. 500 recruits.
That's a big game. We can't wait to watch doing it tomorrow at 11. Hey, I'd love to catch up on Monday. I look forward to talking about a big weekend of college football. Thanks for checking in, Dusty. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.
All right, I'm at Chapel Supply, but at Chapel Supply today here. The Ultimate is coming up next. Another Fat Jack's going to be on today. Should be a great show. Stay tuned to WLS, the Sports Animal.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus Houston and Bud Light Game.